So we just made stand in the second heavenly Father. We approach your throne again, at this time your throne of grace, Lord, which we know is given us the grace tonight that we need, and we can come to you in every time of need. And Lord, tonight we know that our need is very great, because this is the hour of deception, and we pray that we might be kept from that hour of deceit, Lord, by your revelatory power of the Word and the staying power of the Holy Ghost, giving us constant fortitude by watering that same Word until it springs forth into its own manifestation as decreed by you at this time. Lord, we pray that you'll have our ears anointed by that proper Spirit from you that we might hear and know. We pray, Lord, that you'll anoint our minds, O God, to apprehend that Word, and may the Spirit be faithful tonight to help us in such a way that the Word will be retained, and the evil one cannot pluck it away from us. And then, Lord, we pray that we'll be fired up to obey every portion of that Word that can be obeyed, in order that there might be even more revelation coming to us in the line of the great doctrines of truth upon which we can base our faith, until, Lord, that we might be like Enoch, who walked with you and was not, because you took him. Take us also, Lord, in this hour. And we pray, my God, that you'll bless every one of us, so we might be like little children, to just simply take the engrafted Word, whereby we're made wise unto salvation, and not look for any great big thing, but realize that it will be in simplicity. For even as your prophet said, having preached that very message, he didn't realize until much later on, after he had revealed to us the contents as you gave him concerning those seals, he said, I didn't even know what I was saying. About the simplicity, it's even more simple than we think. So help us, Lord, to be resolved to be very, very simple, just to believe, and then to wait upon you for whatever revelation we need that might follow. So, Lord, we commend ourselves to you tonight, and we ask you, even as the one we love so well said, that you who shut the lion's mouth can surely shut the mouth of any preacher, so he might not say anything which is wrong, but rather, Lord, to open the mouth to say that which is right. May the Word be altogether within the tongue and in the mouth, and not be that which is spoken from the head, but let it be, Lord, which is spoken from you. And we know this is something which would be very difficult in many times, but tonight, Lord, we don't believe it will be difficult, because we are trusting in you tonight. And we believe that this is possible, and it's according to the Word, and therefore it can and will be done for us. So we commit ourselves to your mercies in this hour of need. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we've certainly been enjoying the service, at least I surely have. It's just such a wonderful spirit amongst the brethren and the sisters here, and that's certainly commendable. It's just marvelous, you know. It's not always that we can have such a fine feeling amongst us, but we've come together for this specific purpose of praising the Lord together and having fellowship. And you know, when people do that in faith, it happens. You know, the Bible says, I believe of Jacob, that by faith leaned upon his staff and worshiped. And when people come with faith, that they're going to have a time in the Lord, a good time in the Lord, and by that we mean refreshing, by the Spirit and God's presence and each other's presence, by faith, we come and it happens. See, if we didn't have faith for meeting like this, it wouldn't happen. But if we ever come again and the Lord allows us, and we come even with greater expectation, it'll even be better. If the people really expect and use their anointed faith in that certain direction and really believe it, you know, it'll happen. I remember back in 1957, when I was talking to Brother Branham, or he was 56, it could have been even as early as 6, he said, now, Brother Lee, I'm going to come to you in your town and give you a meeting. And he said, you name the date, I'll cancel anything out, and I'll come to you. And I said, that sure is wonderful, Brother Branham. I wouldn't want to take advantage of you, but I appreciate your sentiment, and I'll be wanting a meeting. Well, I went to see him, and that was in 56, and I said, Brother Branham, it wouldn't be fair for you to come to our little town, because although we could maybe get a building, the Legion Hall, I think the city of Lima would be far better, it's bigger, and I believe they have better buildings. and I'd like you to come there. And he eyes it up, and he said, something just spoke. And he said, that's the place to go. Well, we went to town and found a building. It was the Allen County Memorial Hall, and they said, you can have it on such dates, all right. And other men had meetings there also lined up, and they were to have theirs, and lo and behold, the building got on fire. And it had quite a nasty burn in it, and the full gospel businessmen were to have it, but the building didn't get ready in time. Well, just 24 hours before Brother Branham was to open his meeting, the building was completely renovated. The floors were all done over, new seats in there, new drapes, new paint job. It was just beautiful. There were three chairs of balcony so that he could just talk in everybody's face and just reach out like it was just fine. Well, we'd been praying for weeks. And every one of our meetings, we said, Lord, let the sick be healed and let sinners be converted. We pray as they stand there that the power of God will be so strong in conviction that they don't hold on the seats, they'll fall down. And we prayed, and that went on. And pretty soon we increased the temple. We didn't only pray one night a week. We began praying about every night a week. Then we went into chain prayer until about the last 6 weeks, the heavens were bombarded. The ads were in the paper, and the news went out, and the Chicago group that loved him dearly and different people, they all came down, and they filled up all those front rows. And I want to tell you this, that's the first and last time in 5 years the gift of healing went into operation. 50 miracles in 50 minutes, just like that. Not one miss. There wasn't one person I know of who was called out in that audience but was healed, and many more who didn't even get called out were healed as they sat there. It was one of the greatest meetings we ever saw. People later on came and said, you know, Brother Vail, if I hadn't hung on to those seats, I'd have fallen down the aisle prostrate, the power of God in conviction upon me. See, it was faith that did it. See, if you only believe, you can ask it and you can have it. But if we're a haphazard, it isn't going to work, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Remember, God is of one mind, and he's not a man, and you can't change him. So if you can't change God, as we know by little our own little scripture, if you can't make him join. And that's right. You'll never defeat God. You'll never get him to change his mind. You can't twist his arm. You just can't do it. That's the real bride. Now, I could tell you how somebody else can do it, not bride. No, the bride is submissive to the word, see? But when you believe and come in faith, then God will do it. And there's nothing impossible to him that believeth. The anointed revelation cannot be denied, because it is the truth, thus saith the Lord. See, God cannot deny himself. God is not a man that he changed his mind, see? So, I want you to know that the Lord is faithful who has promised, and believe me, he sure has promised, so he sure must be faithful. See? That's right. So we keep that in mind, and as we come together, we believe the Lord. That's right. And Brother Branham also said, I don't operate that gift. You people out there do it. Amen. I remember the first time I sat in the platform behind him, and I had a hold of that microphone cord in West Palm Beach, and of course, I'm, you know how it is. You might as well admit it, because you're only going to find it. Anyway, I'm awful hoggish. You know, I was sitting up there, and I was using all of my faith to be as big a hog as I could and sure get him on my side to get answers. And I was just exerting it, and he'd whirl, look at me, and turn around and go back. I said, that's not nice of him to do that. I was getting his attention, and I'd pull with it, whirl around, look at me, and he'd go back. And I wasn't supposed to have it, really. But you see what you can do with your faith? If you really use your faith, it does operate. See? Now, that's the way to come to church on every Sunday and every day. When you come together, if you only come in real faith believing, and you center your faith not on the mundane things of the world, these common things here you work at day by day, but you center your faith on coming for a real blessed exposition of the Word and a hallowed time in worshiping God, you'll come to a sanctified service where Christ will reveal himself, and you in turn will have honored God, and he'll send you a blessing. And I believe the blessing won't be contained. It's the kind of blessing that sets us on fire. So we always like to think that they'll, of course, only believe. And I've said many a time that Brother Branham, I finally realized he was not telling us to believe for healing, but he was telling us to believe that he was that one to come with that message and to believe the message. Yes. Because after all, the angel said, as John the Baptist forerun the first coming, so your message will forerun the second. And that's right. So therefore, the message is the important thing. And remember, the message brings faith, because faith is a revelation. And if the word is revealed, then there's faith right there. See? So we thank the Lord for that. And we just praise him that all these things are possible if we'll just enter in, as the prophet said. In fact, I believe he said in one place, a proper attitude toward any promise in the Word of God will bring it to you. Certainly, I believe that with all my heart. Now, I want to bring a message tonight on the Word, and of course, I haven't preached devotional messages for a long time. And I've gotten to the place where I guess maybe that if you don't use your left hand very much, you sort of get crippled. And I'm pretty crippled on devotional messages. I wish that I were preaching like I used to preach years ago in order to arouse people's faith and to have a stronger attitude toward worship until the people are just melted in the presence of God. I remember years ago in Florida, I was almost embarrassed, but I got through preaching one morning. The song service was anointed. The message was anointed. And the people just cried, and everybody flocked forward and hugged me, all the women too. I'm not used to that. You know, it's maybe not proper, but it was such a blessed meeting, see? And so that's what we want, and we'd like to have it. But I don't preach that way anymore. And perhaps I'm just talking this way because I kind of feel there might be some misunderstanding the way I teach. And oftentimes the teaching is not in such a way as to lift you, but you got to listen so hard, you're concentrating to see just where the Word patterns. And now I preach that way so much, same like last night. And tonight, it's going to be the same thing. But I say I wish that were possible that somehow if there was a combination of the devotional and the teaching in my ministry so that we could have a greater lift in the Spirit and an adoration and a break away from the things of the world until we're completely lost in Christ. But we try our best anyway by teaching the Word so that you can understand perhaps a little more fully some of the things Brother Branham said. Now, I want to speak tonight on a message based on Brother Branham's sermon, The Anointed Ones of the End Time, which he preached, I believe, August the 25th, 1965. Now, this to me is the most memorable sermon because everything that God does, He does in sevens. Now, you make no mistake about it, because God works in sevens. Now, Brother Branham categorically stated in 1962, in the spoken word as original seed, that this end time prophet would plant the seed of the entire Bible from the serpent seed to the prophet in the former reign. In September the 28th of 1958, he preached on serpent seed. Now, where is the prophet in the former reign? He tells you by identifying the false anointed one so you would know who the true anointed one, which was the prophet of the former reign, Reverend William Marion Branham. And that was preached 7 years later, August the 25th of 1965, completing the cycle. So it's a very special message, and so I want to talk on it tonight. But before I do, Brother Palmer handed me a little question that some brother or sister asked, and he didn't realize it was on the pulpit somewhere, and it wasn't answered. So here's the question. What about my tithe? I live about 70 miles from the nearest message church, and I don't get to go. Of course, the poor party, maybe his husband or something, can't take him so long. But who must I pay my tithe to? Well, of course, the tithe goes to the ministry. And if I were in your position, I would pray especially to ask the Lord that He might guide me to whom I might send it. And the reason I say that, because there are some ministers in this message who are not very well cared for. They're in little tiny groups that have so little that it's almost embarrassing. And if it weren't for the grace of God in the hearts of other brethren, they just wouldn't get along. Then there are people in the foreign field. So I would pray about it, and I would send it. I know the Bible says to bring it, but if you can't do it, your heart being right, there's one thing I sure would do if I were you. It's so important to have foot washing and communion. I'd find out where that church was within 70 miles, and I'd just get there somehow if I possibly could. There's just no way to do it. You can't do it. But you should do it. And I believe that's the best way I can answer your question. Now, let's turn then to the book of Matthew, chapter 7, beginning at verse 15, as the text for the subject, 20th century wolves in sheep clothing. Now, Brother Branham said, the anointed ones of the end time. That's the 20th century. And my title, of course, is then 20th century wolves in sheep clothing, or simply wolves in sheep clothing, if you want to cut the title down. Now, let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 7, and begin at verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, and neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. I wish people really believe that. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom which is of the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Also in Matthew chapter 24, and verses 23 to 25. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ, even lying prophets. Now, Brother Branham identified them as being one and the same thing. They are not false Christ and lying prophets, as though they're two groups. It's the one and the same thing. There shall arise false Christ, even lying prophets, because that's what a false prophet is. And they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, thank God it's not, that they shall deceive the very elected, those that come up by the word. Behold, I have told you before. Where did he tell them before? In Matthew 7. All right, Matthew 7 again, verse 15. The text. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Now here we find the Lord informing us that there would be creatures, especially at the end time, who would be sheep on the outside, but wolves on the inside. Now listen carefully. Sheep on the outside, wolves on the inside. Christians on the outside, but sinners on the inside. Christ on the outside, but the devil on the inside. Ministers of truth on the outside, deceivers on the inside. Or to put it another way, spiritual leaders of the end time will produce a manifestation absolutely contrary to their true nature. You get it? Now that's the important part so far. These leaders will produce a manifestation that is absolutely contrary to their true nature. Well, shall we go home? There you are. You tell that to somebody else, you're not going to believe it. You say, don't tell me that guy's one thing on the inside and he'll have that manifestation out there. I got news for you. That's the Bible says. He will have a nature that will not be betrayed, but he'll deceive. See? The physical manifestation in the flesh will be a Christian, spiritual, Bible-pictured expression of the rebirth. What's a Christian called? Sheep, right? Who's the true sheep? One that's reborn. Right? All right? Then my statement is correct. The physical manifestation in the flesh will be, that's what you see, will be a Christian, spiritual, Bible-pictured expression of the rebirth. Or what we expect to see in a Christian. See? It will be a perfect copy physically of the real because it's sheep clothing and the clothing is what people see while you're hid on the outside and you let them see only what you want them to see. Or what you read now. See? It will look just like the real. But the person is a make-believer, self-deceived and deceiving. Self-deceived and deceiving. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Not the first day when they butchered you. See? Not the second day when they made it worse. Not in the fourth day of the Black Ages. Those aren't perilous times. These are the perilous times. See? And it's such a soft, beautiful age. See? Poor men shall be lovers of their own selves. And so on. Now watch verse 13, how it's perilous times. But evil men and seducers, not rapers, not muggers, not assaulters, seducers, shall wax worse and worse, In other words, their seduction shall reach a place of such finesse as to seduce everybody, but a very special type of people. For the Scripture does not say the elected, it says the very elected. See? They'll wax worse and worse. Perilous times. The peril lies in seduction. See? The original peril that imperiled and wrought confusion these 6,000 years. Notice also, they will have in many cases miracle ministries attesting to their validity. Yeah. Miracle ministry. No man can do a miracle. Only God can do a miracle. They will have God-proven power attesting to their validity. They'll be phonier than $3 bills. Chapter 7. Let's read again. (clears throat) 22:23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, having not prophesied in thy name? Sure they did. And in thy name cast out devils? Certainly. And in thy name done many wonderful things? Then will I profess unto them, I never ever knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. And also I read 24:24. It says right here that these false Christ, lying prophets, shall show great signs and wonders. And remember, there is no inference here that they are lying signs and wonders, because they are not lying signs and wonders. They are genuine signs and wonders done in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's not somebody raising up a hospital in Jesus' name, or someone carrying a sick pallet, a pallet for a sick man down that road in Jesus' name, or someone giving a glass of water. It is casting out devils, doing miracles, and healing in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, even raising the dead breath. See, that's the Bible teaching. Nothing invalid here about the ministry in the sense of the actual miraculous working power of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, the reason I say in many cases, not every case, will there be the validating ministries. Because remember, Peter explained Jesus' gospel more than any other person. You'll find that. Now, let's find what Peter said about what Jesus said. We go to 2 Peter, the second chapter. If you see this, what I just told you, you're going to love the book of Peter. Always look in there for what Jesus said. If you can't find it, you've got to look someplace else. For it. Now watch. In that second chapter of 2 Peter, verses 1 and 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be spoken of. Now prophets and teachers, and all the fivefold ministry, plus the elders, are teachers in the body of Jesus Christ. Even the evangelist has to do some kind of teaching. Yet in spite of this, the Bible says they are condemned by God. In Matthew 7, which I read 22 and 23, depart from me, I never knew you. Now notice, it said how Jesus put it, I never ever knew you. So therefore, I want you to notice, they never were in the election because foreknowledge precedes the election. See, I know a lot of folk would want to say, well, these used to know the Lord, but I don't go for that nonsense. I go for the unadulterated, beautiful word of Almighty God. Now, in 1 Peter, the first chapter, and in verse 2, we read this. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. So, therefore, foreknowledge precedes election. See? And God says, I never knew you. You were never in my foreknowledge for election. So, therefore, these never were in the election whatsoever. But notice, he knew all about them. He did not know them, per se, in the sense of the election, but he knew all about them, away ahead of time, because he foretold it of them, and that's why they're here. See? He said they'd be here, so they are. Now let's go to Jude, the little fourth verse, and listen to it. For there are certain men crept in unaware. Seduction. See? Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation? They had their own type of election. See? Now, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they're denying that Jesus is God, the one and only God. That Jesus the Christ, as the song leader says, is our Lord. The song says is our Lord. See? Now, notice also in the book of Romans, the 9th chapter, and we see a further confirmation of Scripture, and if there be two witnesses, then that's enough. Jude said it. What does Paul say? Notice, 17th verse. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, you know, they might say the Antichrist of his day, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. And I want to tell you, when God got through with that fella, after that fella got through with Israel, God's name was mighty in all the earth. They said, who is like unto the God of Israel? Every nation trembled. And had they stayed with that name and not gone down to Peor with their priests and their dogmas, they'd have gone into Palestine and taken the land over, lock, stock, and barrel. Surely that's the word of God. Now, we see they never were in the election. So what is it? It is God bringing every one of his words to pass. And you'd better believe he's going to do it. See, God is going to do it. Now, also, they are not under the blood, though they may claim to be, because he said, depart from me. See? Get away from me. The blood makes access to God. See? Now, therefore, if they were under the blood, they would have access. You say, how do you know that? Well, if I can find the scripture, I'll show it to you if I can. Let's just take a look over here in the book of Hebrews. And it says here in the 10th chapter, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now they're going to miss the holiest. They're not going to go behind the veil. So therefore they cannot be under the blood, no matter what anybody says. See? These people were never under the blood. And I stress it because they're doing valid signs and wonders with the apparent anointing of Almighty God upon them. Proven ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it were, but they're false. That's true. I don't care what kind of puzzle it brings up, it's true. And now God said, depart from me, you that work iniquity. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41 to understand exactly how this also may be worded by Jesus. And this is the great white throne judgment, I believe. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and for his angels. Now notice, they were sheep clothing wolves, and they found their portion in the lake of fire. And they are with all the wicked. Let's go to Galatians now, the 3rd chapter, and in verse 13, and you can open the doors back again if you like, because it's getting marvelously hot up here. The 13th verse, and it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon the tree. Now they could not have been under the blood, because the blood removes the curse. Okay? How often we talk to people who say, I'm identified with Jesus Christ who hung upon Calvary, hallelujah. There's a lie somewhere within the camp. Not in the Bible. No, it's not in the Bible. We know that. Also notice, please, these miracle workers who are cursed, as I have said, have genuine Holy Spirit ministry. But they could never have been full of the Spirit or baptized with the Holy Ghost. Which is the seal unto the day of redemption of the body. See? Because the Holy Spirit seal does not stop you from dying. Paul was full of the Holy Ghost and died. Irenaeus full of the Holy Ghost and died. Columba full of the Holy Ghost and died. Martin full of the Holy Ghost and died. Luther full of the Holy Ghost and died. Wesley full of the Holy Ghost and died. William Branham full of the Holy Ghost and dead. Doesn't stop him dying. See? But it's a seal toward the redemption of your body. It's a threefold redemption, body, soul, and spirit. See? Now we're released in the spirit. So we can worship in spirit and in truth. See? Our soul, the spirit of God in our soul, changes our very nature. But there is nothing about the body until the day of redemption. And the Holy Spirit has sealed us into that day. Then these people could not have received the Holy Ghost, for God's word is a lie, because he said, you're sealed unto. You say, well, I can break that seal. Now, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. I've heard that nonsense from India. Call God a liar. The next thing, he's asking the Holy Ghost. Why can't people just breathe? See? Sealed into the day of redemption. He meant it when he said it. He said it when he meant it. See? This is what God is doing, not what man is doing. Now, if you could baptize yourself with the Holy Ghost, like we know a lot of folk do, I'd say, well, sure, you can get on Stephen Hurry. Nothing to it. Because if I can seal myself in, I can seal myself out too. And then what God doeth, he doeth it forever. And no man can add to it or take from because God doeth it. Read your book with these 10. See? Now listen. Ephesians that 4 chapter, verse 30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed in the day of redemption. And now, you can see why tongues and miracle manifestations cannot be the evidence of the Holy Ghost, because the believer, every born-again creature, forms a part of the living, ordained body of Jesus Christ in flesh on the earth at this time. And he will lose not one of his members, because he will not appear an imperfect Christ. Now, these men of the 20th century were no doubt forerun by Balaam and Korah, as it says in the book of Jude in verse 11. Notice, woe unto them, these men that creep in, these sinister creatures, these seducers. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. First of all, they have no revelation. That's Cain's trouble. No revelation, no faith. You say, oh, Brother Bill, they do have faith. I will grant you, I'll correct my statement. They have a reprobate faith. Because the Bible speaks of reprobate faith. They have a corrupt faith. See? But they don't have a renewed faith. They go after the way it came. And they run eagerly after the heir of Balaam, a golden calf scheme, of prestige and rulership over the people, which is Nicolaitanism, but through the creeds and the dogmas. And they perish in the gainsaying of Korah, which is men rising up with gifted ministries to stand against the anointed leaders of the day. Now let's find God's word on it. Psalm 68. Listen, verse 18. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts from men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord might dwell among them. Now listen. This is the verse that Paul quotes in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and verse, what is it? 27, take a look, I forget what verse it is. 11, 12, somewhere in there. Now here it is. 11th verse, 10th verse. He ascended on high. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, teachers, a fivefold ministry. Now, what did God do when he ascended on high? He gave gifts unto men. And when he gave a fivefold ministry, he gave it for the perfecting of the bride. But notice, it also says that for the rebellious also. What did he do? He gave gifts. That God, the Lord God, may dwell amongst them. What is this taken from? This is taken from Numbers, the 16th chapter, all about Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, when they withstood Moses. Notice, and Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, and so on, sons of Reuben. They rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men around. There's your Christian businessmen, and your full-cloth businessmen, and your would-be elders, and your would-be deacons, and those that try to be would-be authority in the church to flaunt their whatever prestige they have by their little piddly jobs and their little piddly wages in the face of a God-ordained minister. That's blasphemy and corruption. The Cain sayings of a court. He's standing up with a gift. Now let me tell you something and get this straight. The word rebellion in the Hebrew, in the Greek version, see, of the Septuagint, that word is not rebellion, but it is apostasy. Now where was Cain? Off the word. Where was Balaam? Off the word. Where was Korah and Abiram? Off the word. See? Exactly. Now, let's go to 2 Peter again. Verse 17. 2 Peter. 2 chapter 17. These are wells without water. What's water for? To water the seed, to bring forth fruit. They got nothing to water the seed. But they're pouring upon the people, but they're pouring sand. Clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. That's who they are. See? Now, let's continue and see the sheep clothing part that describes the manner of living of these make-believers. We go to 2 Corinthians. And there in the 11th chapter, notice verse 13. Watch it. For such are false apostles. You got a true apostle, you got a false apostle. Notice, deceitful workers. Oh, they're workers. It's a transforming themselves, not God doing. No genuine experience. Oh, experiences, yes, many. All kinds, but not genuine. Not a genuine Holy Ghost filling. Because the Holy Ghost does it. Transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Now transforming. What happened on the Mount of Transfiguration? This man Jesus was transfigured before their eyes. He took on he took on radiance. He became radiant. He was changed before them. He was angelical. He was spiritual. He was beautiful. He was a thing to be desired, a thing to be worshipped, and they were just enthralled. That's exactly the same word that's used right here. Beautiful looking, spiritual looking, enthralling, majestic, wonderful, inspiring awe and beauty and worship and love. Thank you. Exactly true. Otherwise, why did Peter say, let's build three tabernacles here. One for you, and one for you, and one for you. It's good to be here. Oh, yes, it's very good. How many people right today go to church? Oh, hallelujah. It's good to be here. Let's have a hallelujah march. Let's give the missionaries. Let's have a great time. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved. Oh, glory. I'm going to get real annoyed myself pretty soon. Yeah? Well, come on. You think I'm preaching fairy tales? Preach the Word of God. Transfigured. In other words, it's come across into another realm. They're not coming across as wolves. They're coming across as anointed servants of Almighty God with a manifestation. Radiant. That's right. I can't help it, the Bible says. Now listen. And no marvel. You mean I'm not to marvel about this? When this makes your hair stand on end? Oh, no, he said, no, think nothing of it. Call him a split peas. Satan himself is also transformed into an angel of light. Bringing your truth, bringing your grace, showing your glory. Talking about Jesus. Leading the way as though we're hallowed. Say, follow me to the very kingdom of God. Hallelujah, saints, follow my footsteps. Glory to God. I'll tell you about the new birth. I'll tell you about the power of God. Anybody here want healing? Challenge your God of healing. Oh, they get them too. Oh, think they don't? Come on now. You talk about a message in the ministry. You talk about an anointed word amongst them. Preach like angels, somebody said. There's two kind of angels. Better watch that. Now, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers be transformed as though they were ministers of righteousness, which they are not, whose end shall be according to their works, depart from me, I never knew you. And tell me if the Bible puts it this plain and said, look, what are you fussing about? Can't you just accept the truth because it is the truth? And why do people fuss at William Branham having preached anointed ones at the end time and stumble and say, well, my pastor... Okay, father and son, good luck. Mother like daughter.
Certainly. These seemingly righteous people are emissaries and tools of Satan. They are his ministers right among the church people, shepherding them.
What did they tell you last night about that plant? Book of life and the last book of life. Church and bride at one plant. There it is right there. Okay. Let's go back here then and see it in Jude. I just made a statement. They shepherd within the very church of Almighty God. Jude the 12th verse. These are spots in your feast. Whose feast? The servant of Jesus and the brother James to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved by the Holy Ghost in Jesus Christ. They'll sit down with you at your feast. There's your whole pack. There's your book of life. There's your Lamb's book of life. There's your bride. There's your church. Come on. Tell me where the prophet was wrong. I'll show you where he's right. Feeding themselves without fear. See? Clouds they are without water. Carried about a wind. Sure, just give a little more salary now. They'll run around and pick that up too. Tree whose fruit withereth without fruit twice dead. Not just once dead. They've already been killed by death according to the book of Revelation. Committing the unforgivable sin they must have or they couldn't be twice dead. Is that right? It's got to be right. We're not babies and fools. We can read. See? Crocked up by the raging waves of the sea. They're the raging waves of the sea of humanity. Oh, you say, Brother Dale, then that speaks of great tempest and chaos. Oh, not these babies. Oh, no. Sweet, calm, you know. Over the billows we go, so sweet. Ah, hallelujah, isn't he wonderful? Love each other, my children. Glory to God. It doesn't matter how you bleed. It's just if you love him, praise God. But God calls it the raging wave. Because the seeming serenity is what fools you. So the sheep clothing is what fools you. It's the exterior that's contrary to the inner nature. See? Follow me? Oh, I just love the Bible. You couldn't. I tell you what, if I have to go to hell, I'm still going to love it. The words are so fantastic. Foaming out their shame. That's all there is. Foam. How many like to drink foam for a glass of water? Even a calf's got enough brains to go and blow the foam off its nose when it drinks milk. Not many so-called Christians got that much in the ball. Frothy. See? Nothing, no substance. See? Wandering stars. Not fixed to the great North Star, Christ. See? Not orbiting around him. They become a satellite of their own imaginations and draw you into their courses. To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. No recourse to God. Another impossibility divine. No wonder Satan takes over the church at the end time. How could he fail? You give me a wolf, and supposing I was a little old wolf in my sheep clothing, you think I couldn't have a good fat beat on the land? Yeah, make me like more like the faithful watchdog with the boxers with the to the cat down. If you think you got to ride a horse, don't be. Why don't you look like the Queen of England? I saw her the other day on TV accidentally, and she was riding side saddle, and I said, "Bravo, bravo, isn't it?" Praise the God for the Queen. And I was ready to be a Canadian again, thinking, "God save the Queen," just because she rode a horse side saddle with a long skirt. Well, funny old Dale. Can't help it. That's my nature. I loved it. I've got no use for royalty, so-called stuff. Yeah, I left Canada years ago. I'm no Canuck, don't think so. But I tell you, that stirred my heart. You know, there's a baby acting like a queen. And women say there's a queen of the Son of God. And you wear the kind of junk you wear. Yeah, something wrong somewhere. Read your psychology on body contact. You said you'll find out just why you're doing it. Even the psychologist could read women like a book, and they still want their filth and their crud, or whatever you want to call it. Listen, I've not shunned to declare all the counsel of God alone will keep a man's soul from blame on the day of judgment. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock of God, or which the Holy Ghost made you overseers, defeat the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For this I know, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, wolves in sheep's clothing. See? What are they going to do? Not sparing the flock, making merchandise, and of your own selves men shall arise, speaking perverted things. There you are. There's your tree. Identical to 2 Corinthians 11 and 3. And also notice Galatians, the first chapter, verses 6 to 9. We get that in a hurry. Now watch. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you under the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Removed from the grace of God by changing the word. Removed from the blood by changing the word. Proving there's no election, because grace and election are hand in hand, almost synonymous. They're a unity, though perhaps not synonymous. Which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert by changing the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, Paul, I myself, preach any other gospel than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him go to the lake of fire. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Depart from me, you cursed. On what consideration? Because they have been felonious? And because they have been marauders, assaulters, and so on. No, because they have been deceivers. Seducers and seduced. As we said before, say so I now again, if any preach any other gospel than which you have already received of me, let him, let me, let anybody, let everybody be cursed. Now where's your blood? Now where's your scripture that says the blood of the Son of God takes away the sin of the world? That's perverting the scripture, because it's isolating the truth. And brother, sister, my body is not made of one little bloodstream as though there's only one right through my middle here. It's in every part of my body. So with the word of Almighty God, it must be consistent with every part of the entire word. Now, let him be accursed. What about those who believe? What brings the curse? Now, to see this more clearly, notice what Paul calls this in the book of Romans, the 5th chapter, and verse 12. Now let's watch it. Romans, the 5th chapter, and in verse 12. And now I want this verse. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Paul calls it sin entering the world. Exactly what he called it in Acts. Perverting the word of God, and thereby bringing that sin. Now, carefully, let's go to 1 John, the 3rd chapter and verse 4. Alright, here we are. What? Paul said, sin entered the world and death by sin. What was it? Acts chapter 20. 2 Corinthians 11 and 3. Genesis, that second chapter, verse, I think, 7. Knowledge of good and evil. A perversion. See, that's what Paul called it. That's what Brother Branham called it. Now what does John call it? In 1 John 3 and in verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. No, sir. Sin is not the transgression of the law. Sin is lawlessness. That's the translation. Now listen. There is no such thing as lawlessness per se. Because nothing is without a law. When Eve believed the wrong thing, she went to the law of unbelief. When she got pregnant by the serpent, she went by the law of copulation. See? There is no such thing as breaking a law. If you can ever break a law, it's finished. You can defy a law. And you can try to stop that law from working, but you cannot break it, and there's no such thing as lawlessness. Then what does the scripture mean? Brother Branham says this in the seals on page 53. Sin is the right thing perverted. Proverbs shows you by the prophet. There's no such thing as lawlessness. There's no thing of breaking anything. If I broke the law of gravity, no more gravity. You see, I broke the law of marriage, and there's no more marriage. Everybody's getting married. You can't break the law. You turn around and get married right over again. The right thing perverted. There's only one right thing in this world. That's the Word of God, because everything is Word. See? The right thing perverted. See? Now listen. This, then, is anti-Word. See? An anti-Word is anti-Christ. See? An anti-Christ is instead of. So Eve took something instead of the Word, and she got death. Today, and we're going to have an anti-Christ who will be instead of Christ. You got the Pope doing it right now. He is. He's the vicar of Christ. He's Antichrist. He's instead of, because vicar means instead of and place up. He tells you right now who he is. People go, oh, who's the Antichrist? Oh, who's the Antichrist? Oh, poor man. What's an elephant? What's an elephant? Is that an elephant? Oh, I think that's a kangaroo. I wouldn't be that an elephant. Ah, oh, I'll now that today. That's crazy. The kangaroo. God has pity on these people that call themselves spiritual. The Word of God tells you what the Antichrist is. It's the Pope. They accuse Jesus of being anti-God and anti-Christ. They say, you make yourself God by forgiving sins. The Pope claims to forgive sins. Nobody else does. And anybody that cries is an Antichrist. It's instead of. Now you got it tonight. The Antichrist is instead of. But Christ is the Word. So it's instead of the Word. That's what Eve took. And there's where the seduction lies. They will not take the revealed Word. See? Now remember, the beginning of righteousness is a true revelation. Quoting William Branham, vindicated prophet. See? And they turn it down. Now, let's go back to Matthew 7 again. See, we understand. Verse 21. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Lord, Lord means master, master. You're my master. I'm your servant. You're mine, I'm yours. I'm in the kingdom. Master, master, Lord. Shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now, let's just take a look at this. Because it's a strength. Now, what does the Bible teach? The Bible teaches, you go into all the world and preach the gospel. And these signs shall follow them. In my name, they'll cast the devil. In my name, they'll speak a new tongue. In my name, they'll take up service. See? They're commanded of God to preach the Word, and they're commanded to obey and to believe God and see the things that God wants. The Bible said, forbid not to prophesy. Don't stop it, it says. And the Bible said, it's okay to speak in tongues. See? Therefore, this is the will of God, to cast out devils, to prophesy, to do wonderful works in Jesus' name. But these people here are condemned because they do it. Now, how come? See? Tells you how it comes. Because they're sheep on the outside and they're devils on the inside. They're believers on the outside, but they're unbelievers on the inside. They're saints on the outside, but they're sinners on the inside. They are not true Christians. See? And what is it that does it? It's this tree. See? Now Eve was told in Adam, be fruitful and multiply. But they were told how to do it. But they went outside the framework of the Word in order to perform the service and worship of God. And when they did it, they were lost. And you've got the same thing right today. It's abomination to Almighty God for people to attempt to worship Him without spirit and truth. In vain do you worship me, for you have for your doctrine the commandments of men. See? He took the commandment of the devil, thou shalt not. And when the commandment of God was that they surely should. So here we see, what are they doing? These people are trying to worship and to serve God outside the framework of the revealed Word. Say, what's the matter? I've seen these signs and wonders. God's in our midst. It's the same thing said about Korah
Dathan and Abiram, and they paid the price of fire and swallowed up by the earth and death. And the Bible said the gifts were given to the apostate, all those off the word, turn the word down, that might prove that God's among them. And I want to tell you, the Bible said tonight, in the last day, I'll pour my spirit upon any double L flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and on my servants, women servants, and on my men servants, I'll pour my spirit also, and they'll do the same thing. But there's one difference. At the end time, the believer has the testimony of the spirit of prophecy, which is the testimony to Jesus Christ, which is the Word, and the rest are off the Word. One man has the unperverted Word of God, and the other has the perverted Word of God. And now, let's look at Matthew 7 and 24. And watch. Therefore, this is what Christ says after verses 15 to 23. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them. You hear the Word of God and abide it. You hear the Word of God and obey it. You hear the Word of God and believe it. And he said, I will liken unto him to a wise man who built his house upon a rock, and the rains descended, the flood came, and the wind blew, and it set the beat upon that house, and it did not fall, because it was founded upon a rock. Let's find out what that rock is. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, and in verses 13 to 18, and Jesus speaking, came to Caesarea Philippi, he said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And some say you're John the Baptist, Jeremiah, Elijah. He said, but whom do you say I am? And Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou. Nobody else was blessed with him. And he said it. Didn't say to anybody else. Not the gang of people. Oh, said, you're John, you're this. Oh, no, it's just no blessing for you. See? You're not the one. Fire, Jonah. For flesh and blood hath not redeemed them. He said, you didn't figure that out. And no man told you. But my Father which is in heaven revealed it to you. You got a revelation of the Word. He is the Word. And I say to thee, the star Peter, and upon this rock, the rock of spiritual revelation of the Word, I will build my church, and the gates of hell not prevail against it. In this day of peril and deceit, with the waves of the sea rolling and raging and forming out their shame, and the black darkness upon the people, and all the chaos and the wars, and all these things. My brother, my sister, there is a people who will absolutely stand, and the winds of adversity of the Antichrist, which are held back now by the four angels upon the four corners of the earth, it shall not blow upon them, because they are established upon the rock Christ Jesus the Revelation. And nothing else will work. Now the Bible tells us, it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. And in the days of Noah, the scripture says, in that old, the rain began to fall, and no doubt the winds began to blow, and it was like a great cataclysm upon the earth, and that flood came down and destroyed everyone but eight people. And it says, in the days of Noah, when that flood condition is to appear, everything will appear with it, and then the days of the Son of Man will repeat. And Brother Branham, as Brother Palmer read today, out of the anointed ones of the end time of which I based my sermon, he said, I was not the Son of Man. He said, I was, and he said, the angel is not the Son of Man, the messenger, but he is revealing the Son of Man. See, which is Christ, that Word. Now, at the end time, the very ministry of Christ returns to earth, and at the same time, the last revelation comes to God's people. In Hebrews, the 6th chapter, and in verse 4, it says, for it is impossible. You'll never have any helper here. It's finished. For those who are once for all enlightened. And the word once for all means they'll never come another time. We'll make the Gentile churches all over. It's the last time. And have taken us, and they'll taste the heavenly gift. They'll partake of the Holy Ghost. They'll taste the good word, the powers of they'll taste the good word of God. And the powers of the world to come. And you've got a man right today. The Brother Branham said, if you want to know about the things of God, if you want to be an evangelist, if you want to pray the prayer of faith for the sick, you go sit under that mighty oak, Brother Bosworth, F.F. Bosworth, and he'll teach you. And that man went under Brother Bosworth. He learned what Brother Bosworth could give him. He became a great man in this world today, one of the greatest there is. He goes around the world, and you say, Brother so-and-so, and you have any gift? He'll say, I don't know a thing about the gift. All I know is the Word works, and the Bible said you can taste the power of that Word and go to hell, do it. Right here. You say, you condemning him? I'm condemning anybody that condemns himself. He's got the same cap. He's in peg. He's in peaceless. He's been showing these things. But he's got too much to lose. You can taste the good word of God and the very powers of the world to come. In other words, you can come right up to the rapture. That's right. You could even come and enter into that wedding supper, and that's right, you can, because a man got in without a garment, and he was cast out. How's it going to happen? Don't ask me. I'm just quoting the Bible. Ask God, I'm not fine. But he said it. Man came in. He said, how'd you get in here, friend? You're a nice, sweet fellow, too. Oh, he said, I like it. I want to be part of it. You didn't have a garment. Oh, they had a garment, all right. Clothes. Walk inside. Certainly. Now, it says, if they fall away. No, sir. Not if they fall away. Having fallen away, it's impossible to ever renew them to repentance again, which is a change of mind, which will ever bring back the faith. In other words, there's coming an end-time message upon this earth, which we believe we've already received. If you ever go back on it, it's all over. From then on, you can have a great ministry. Or you can be sweet, and you can get the people in your clutches, and you can make them think you're so wonderful, until they just swoon in your presence because you're full of them. You merchandise it. Get them back to the Word. I wish I were sweet, but never so sweet I held you captive. No, it's good to be sweet, but not that. Having fallen away, they can never be renewed to repent, seeing they have crucified, not to crucify him, but to sell the Son of God afresh. Now, how are you going to crucify the Son of God afresh to yourself unless you have a direct confrontation with the Christ somehow by the Spirit, which proves that he is the Christ? Who did that today? William Branham. He did it because of Scripture. The book of Acts, the 3rd chapter. This is not in my notes, but I'm going to read it anyway. Repent you therefore and be converted. Change your mind. That your sins may be blotted, or rather turned around. That your sin may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And the word presence of the Lord means that part of anything that is presented to the eye. Now what part of God was presented to our eyes? That which the words of no man could perform was performed, and we saw it. That's God. Not William Brown. And Isaiah said, why do you not tremble in my presence? They merely said, what you can do, I think we can do better. And they hop, skipped, and jumped down the road with the tree of life, with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil instead of the word of Almighty God. Now listen, we are at the end time. We are here in this particular peculiar day when men shall be wolves in sheep clothing. And Brother Branham categorically stated, those spirits are so close that only the very elect can tell the difference. Now that's in my sermon tonight. I've taken verse after verse and proof. He told us to break it down and feed the people. Now I said a while ago, I wish that I could possibly bring you a type of message to lift you up. And make a message to, we would be able to just have a great time worshiping, adoring God, but my ministry is not that. And I've done my best to break it down and show you what the prophet taught. And here we are, just as he said, the 20th century wolves in sheep clothing. They won't stay with the Word. Brother Branham said, give them the Word test. Remember that church age, back there in Ephesus. They came by and they rose up and these apostles came in, transformed as angels of the light, and they were speaking in Ephesus, and the Ephesian member said, hold it right there, mister. You are a false apostle. And he said, my, that was flat. They said, what do you mean we're false apostles? You're not saying what Paul did. Amen. Didn't say they weren't doing what Paul did. Because they were. They weren't saying what Paul did. See? Now listen, there they are. They will not stay with the Word. They won't preach the revealed word by a vindicated prophet. They make disciples of men and turn men from God because the Bible said you make men disciples unto yourselves. If I preach anything up here, that's why I said the other this morning, or was it last night, I am sorry that people hold me in any kind of honor because I don't want it. Because if I teach you one thing off of that word and you believe me because Lee Baylor saying it, then I have not brought you to Christ. I have brought you to myself. And let's face it, I don't want you. I don't want any preacher, I don't want any man, I don't want any woman. I'll tell you what, I don't even want myself. I want God. But if I haven't got God,
I'm lost. I don't want to make anybody my defense. I don't want anybody saying, well, Brother Dale said God is so, because they're not necessarily true. I hope it's right. I hope it's so, but I don't know. I'm not doing it. But I know one thing tonight. The message I have preached. But don't you believe me there. You believe the vindicated prophet. Because what he said, I have said, and I've taken a lot of it to the hoop. 20th century wolves in sheep clothing, transformed as ministers of Christ. The two spirits so close, yet one is Janus and Jambres. The other is a Moses. Two against one. They'll outnumber many, many times. They'll show the same things that we can show. And there's just one word test, as I said last night. The bride is indoctrinated by the doctrine of life. She has not received a needle in her ear. She has received an injection of a spirit-filled word. And the Bible said if that same spirit resides in you, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, it'll quicken your mortal members, whether it's in the dust or whether it's here. They're taking you to the very rapture. Oh, they made disciples of men and turned them from God unto lasciviousness. Spiritual fornication, because that's what lasciviousness is. A lascivious person is a filthy sex monk. A man that chases women or a woman that chases men. Oh, I know that's the most pleasurable human act there is. And it's the most pleasurable spiritual act there is with the wolves in sheep's clothing. Oh, they're titillated. They're happy. They're exalted. Oh, they're on fire. Not the fire, no. Religious, sure. Come to the altar. You're born again of corruptible seed. Priest and dog. Emotion, lost. Zeal, tons of them. Look just like it. Sure, the bride's taken out about just about all the women. They all just about look alike. In fact, the world brides, in some cases, look a whole lot better than the real true ones. You can't tell them apart, except by word test, because Jesus said on that day, I'll let them know who I really love. Nobody's going to know. See? They make disciples of men and turn them from God themselves. They take them from the living water and give them foam of shame. Why? Because they'll be ashamed of that day. Oh, I hope we see it. To build our faith on the revealed and uncorrupted word, that we may have the faith of Enoch who walked with God and was not. And two cannot walk together unless they be agreed. And God will not agree with me. See? God, show me you're on my side. And he'll say, step aside, son. Get on my side. And God's not obligated to be on my side. I'm obligated to be on his side. He's the one that said he sent a vindicated prophet. He's the one that said, when you see that man come with us, that's the Lord, you hear him and you fear him. How many times we have to see him? Once was all we needed. How many times did I hear him say, thus saith the Lord, and didn't know he was even talking about? Except that was great. You catch it? So that they love their religion. That's great. Christian businessmen filling the pulpit. That's great. Oh, yeah. No, it's not. Women anointed the priest. Oh, wonderful. Oh, she's got the best ministry you ever saw. Over here in Pennsylvania, going around the world. No, well, I don't care what that man does. Bless God, I got healing ministry. You're going to die healed. You can heal a dozen times. In fact, you can get raised from dead four times in a row. And you still go and die again. But you go three, three other times. Who are these wolves she's calling? You know all about them. So simple to pass it over the world. It just didn't work yet. A man not long ago said, crying and tears, he said, when the preacher came to me, and he said, brother, I'd like to know where the bride is. I'd like to be part of that bride. I'd like to see some bride. And he said, I couldn't tell him. I couldn't take him to my church. I couldn't take anybody's church. I wasn't there that he had heard his tape. I don't know, I might have screamed out, why don't you bring it to me? I won't show him one thing. Not interested. before I tell them.
And I'll say, sir, you hear William, whoever William Branham? Oh, sure. What do you think of God? That's wrong.
And I find out if he's right.
Yeah, Brother Dale, that man's got you beat off the man. Don't think. Don't think.
Don't think. For many will come in.
Say, Lord, Lord, do not prophesy none.
Haven't we identified ourselves with you? Spread the word out and shown the folk we love you and believe in you where you are.
Many will come in that day and say, haven't we cast out this? What about that great white throne when some great man stands up there and the Bible Paul says that we may have boldness on the day of judgment? That word in the Greek is parthesia, which means have to be spoken.
And that great white throne stands there. And that man comes up and God said, speak part for me.
What for? I cast out those devils. I obeyed you. He let me look around. Look like, he said, son, I remember you. You're the one whose mother was insane for the devil. Isn't that right, son?
He said, that's right. This could happen in the judgment of God because they're going to be all there.
And he said, you were destituted, undone without her. And he said, isn't it true, woman, and you, son, standing there, that I cast those devils out of you and restored you to your husband's arms and to your family, and you became a devoted mother again, and the flies these folk were safe? Isn't that true? I did, Lord, what you said. The tree that cut down is now cut down. The tree that brought death, twice dead, is now plucked up in the dead. What is it?
These spirits are so close to living people. Listen, my brother, my sister. For too long now we have been involved in personality. Too long we have been involved in men instead of the word. Too long those who say they believe this message allocated themselves in the doubtful privilege and joy of standing up with personality instead of the word.
That's why I say don't listen to me. And don't try to follow me or anybody. Get that word. And if I'm off that word, you are obligated to come to me to save my soul by declaring the full counsel of us. Not to challenge some foolishness I've been challenged. But to come and show me where I've heard one word off of the cross. And if I'm off that word, I want to know where. Because if I have told you wrong, you believe me because you think I'm someone. And I have made you a captive of merchandise to be there. I don't even want to go there. I feel rough time to do good. Because what I say goes for every preacher, dealing with it, whether it be 25 or 55 or 100. The Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you, who teach to you the word of God. There is no preacher you obey. There is no man you obey. It is the word of God you obey. There is no authority but Christ the Word. Now see where you're getting the Father. Now see what happens. That's why not even two men can sit down and discuss this word and draw a conclusion. The revelation of the Spirit living God. And we're built upon it. And my brother, sister, let the winds descend, let the floods come down upon you. And our house is built upon the revelation. Make no doubt in your heart and mind, you will escape the storm. And the question is, what might befall the bride? Who cares what might befall the bride? If we're in that word will rise up and take you. There's your life preserver. There's your life. There's your strength. See, there's your true individuality. Where are you calling? Christ in you. What is that proof? So simple it passes over the head. But the great prophet of God said, that prophet of the end time will plant the seed of the entire Bible from the serpent to the prophet in the former age. That man will bring Mary to prove that we were to hear him of whom the scripture says, if you don't hear him, you'll be cut off from among the dead. God vindicated him because he said, when that man comes, you hear him and you hear him.
He came with a message. You know that the great man Moses says in Deuteronomy 4, if any man adds to this book or takes from it, you know what will happen? Praise, name off the record and so on. You understand him? And listen, how could William Brandt, with thus saith the Lord of Deuteronomy 18, do anything but fulfill Deuteronomy 4? Do you know there's never been a word added to this, the first five books of the Bible? Not one word. There hasn't. You say, well, Brother Dale, I beg to differ. There's 66 books in there. 61 you haven't covered. Oh, no, I haven't. Those other 61 books merely elaborate on what's already in the first five. They merely give you the full revelation. From serpentine to the problem in the former race, and today, the anointed one of the end times, they'll look like it, they'll act like it. In the words of the Lord, praise and shall we pray. Heavenly Father, again we thank you tonight, Lord, because you have given us the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And oh, strange, strange thing. Here is a people who depends upon what you said with the evidence of the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Oh, joy of joy. And rest immeasurable, and peace greater than the ocean, a burden that is light as a feather. For now we know in whom we have believed, and are persuaded that you are able to keep that which we have committed unto you against that day, that we shall not come into condemnation, but sealed unto the day of redemption, walk into immortality, and the light of the eternal Christ manifest in physical life. Lord, we know tonight that this is true. Oh, God, we know it is true. Help us now to act out the truth, sheep in sheep's clothing. Grant it, Lord, that we may be pure, unadulterated substance, a word bride with the word, knowing what to do with it. Now, Lord, I know that there's nobody else can escape the judgment on the grounds of what we see in Matthew 7 and what the vindicated prophet taught what we know. For nothing outside of this message can come to life any more than could come in the first age, because Paul had said, let him be accursed, or the second age, or the third, or the fourth, or the fifth, or the sixth. Now, here we are tonight, Lord, and what we're pleading. Oh, God, send the latter rain in the deepest, greatest revelation. Let our mouth fill with the honey and the dew from the word of life. Let the manna fall. Let the oil fall upon the man. Let the bread be anointed tonight, O God. Let the hungry and thirsty be filled, for we hunger for righteousness. And the prophet said the beginning of righteousness was a genuine revelation. Oh, Lord, tonight, let your power so anoint us with the reality of the word that it's going to be like the temple in the old days. The pillars will just seem to go backward and forward while we hear the cherubic angel sing out, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And Lord, that is at work, the smoke of thy glory fill the temple. Let thy train be here, O Lord. And let every other thought be disabled, let every thought be vanquished from the mind, let everything that is against thy authority and thy word be brought under control until there's nothing there but unadulterated word. Write thy word in our hearts and in our minds, O God, until we become it, it becomes us. As the prophet said, word becoming flesh and word becoming word, and transpiring so fast we can't keep up. Oh, Lord, it seems as though this race is so slow. Help us, O God, to see it being consummated, and the time is at hand. Oh, Lord, help us to rise from amongst the dead, that thy light may shine upon us. God said in our hearts once and for all that this is it, because we really know it is in it. But Lord, let the day star of revelation dawn in our hearts this day. May the entire sky of our minds and souls and deeds be flooded with the Son of Righteousness rising with healing. Heal, O God, from the wound and the death, we pray, of priests and dogs. Help us, Lord. No, let the sun set in the west, and we be left in darkness. Help us, O God, like a dove to take the wings of the morning, to fly away to our Lord, I know you've heard my prayer. Oh, God, may even the people tonight that are fortunate enough to have received the answer. Now, one of the King Eternal, immortal and visible, the only wise God, the all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ the Lord. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I sing, take all my sins away. Oh, let me from this day be holy thine. You know, there's only one way that can be done, and that's through the revelation by the Holy Spirit. That's right. If faith is unbelief, but we get true faith through the revelation, brother, sister, we shall make. A man of this generation, a great orator, stood up, and he said, we shall overcome. But brother, sister, he's wrong. They're not going to overcome. There's only us who know shall overcome. And so we shall, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of this testimony, because the blood and the word go together, they shall never cease to be in that respect. God bless you. Shall we rise at this time?